What are people up to in town? Find out on Out There Wednesday afternoons from 4 to 5 on Valley Free Radio for live encounters from the streets and paths of Northampton and beyond. We don't care if we live out of date. We don't care if we're a little bit late. Gonna make a scene, baby, me and you. On my rocking bicycle that's built for two. And thanks for tuning in to Out There today. It is Wednesday, July 25th, says the calendar. And I have a live guest with me in the studio today, Rodrigo.
Hola, hola, ¿cómo están?
Rodrigo's here from Mexico City on his bicycle.
Hello.
We're going to talk later in the second half of the show. For the first half of the show, I'm going to play an interview, sort of an interview with Peggy McLeod and some other people from the Pollinator Pathways Project. Well, the bees, where is their website? WMassBees.org, I think. So last week I was emptying trash. I was doing the downtown trash barrels in Pulaski Park. And I'd noticed how the weeds were kind of taking over a lot of the plantings that have come up in the park since it was redone a few years ago. And there was some woman on her hands and knees hidden in the weeds. And I was like, who is that? What is she doing? So I pulled out my recorder and it was Peggy McLeod. And then other people came to join. So it's towards the end of the clip. This is a 13-minute clip. Towards the end of the clip, you'll also hear Lola Reed and Jessica Tanner, who also has a show here on Valley Free Radio, Farm to Fork, and Diana Riddle.
Hi, I'm Peggy McLeod, and here we are in Pulaski Park, and I'm weeding.
So Pulaski Park was recently renovated. Can you tell me a little bit about the process of like how the park came to be like renovated with these wildflowers and weeds and this, I'm not going to call it a drainage, it's a rain garden?
Yeah, Pulaski Park wasn't being used a few years ago that much, so the city came up with an idea to renovate it, and they had a contest for design, and once it was installed, that installer had a couple years to maintain it, and now it's not being maintained. So I'm part of a little crew that is willing to volunteer and get out the things that aren't really planned.
So how did you get involved in this little crew?
Yeah, I started an organization a couple years ago called Western Mass Pollinator Networks, and we have many volunteers, and most of us are trying to expand the pollinator habitat because we've taken it a lot of it away by building subdivisions and streets and all of that. So we have been talking to the city about different places in town that are like the public can see, and could we work with them to make them more pollinator friendly? Mm-hmm. And immediately the city goes, oh, we need help down at Pulaski Park. Can mm-hmm. you help weed down there? So that's our first step is weeding. And then we'll think about what kind of plants we can add and work with the city to add those.
Do you happen to have any idea what the city, like, what their plan was initially with only having a two-year contract and no plan? Or?
Well, that's just the way city money works is oftentimes, and this is in many cities, you know, you have a pretty good idea how to get it to a certain point, but maybe they're going to have to raise some more money or, you know, there are people that work on trees on a volunteer basis, so it's a fun thing to do, and you get a lot of satisfaction by doing it and make it more beautiful, so maybe they won't have to raise more money. Uh-huh. They did say that if we want to add some plants, they'll work with us and they'll give us the materials and the money to
the plants,
do that.
Yeah, buy plants.
Yeah.
Cool. Can you say anything about? So right now there's this one flower blooming. What is this orange flower here? Do you know what it is?
Yeah, it's a type of milkweed, and it's not the common milkweed, which has the very large, large leaves, but it just so happens that it's one of the milkweed plants that monarchs lay their eggs on. Monarchs only lay eggs on milkweed. So anytime you see common milkweed in your garden, it's something you shouldn't pull because monarchs are having a hard time finding places to lay their eggs. So this is one of the blooming plants now, and if it were a pollinator garden, we would have blooming plants throughout the whole season, and that, that would be our goal. Mm-hmm. But I want to say something about individuals. We have a project called 1001 Pollinator Gardens. It was started by Amy Pulley, who's in our group, and you can go to 1001pollinatorgardens.org, and you can learn about creating a pollinator garden in your own yard. And once you have a pollinator garden, you can list it on that website. And we have 56 people out of 1,001. So,
great. So right now you're pulling out the grass.
Mostly the grass.
Certain kinds of grass. Not the. There's some grasses in here that were intentionally planted.
Pollinators and a lot of wildlife need certain kinds of habitat. And some of these grasses, I can't name them because I'm not that technical. But some of the grasses are definitely weeds, and some are definitely intentionally planted. And they look nice when they're weeded around.
Yeah. How about the purple clover? You going to leave that?
That is definitely something. My friend Paige would attack me if I pulled out the clover. Definition of a weed. It's something that humans haven't thought of what to do with yet.
So this in Pulaski Park, the upper level of Pulaski Park is one place you're working. You were saying, well, I noticed this morning that there's a whole crew, a landscaping crew that's weeding and planting new trees in the lower level of Pulaski Park where the switchback goes down to the roundhouse parking lot. So that's like a separate thing from what you all are doing?
Yeah, that's the next phase. I believe they did this in two phases. But I think at the end of this year, they'll be done with their contract. And so the city will try to think about. Actually, they have more ground covers over there. It's a different plan. So
yeah, I ate blueberries from the low bush blueberries down there a couple weeks ago.
I'd love to have centrally placed fruit and blueberries and raspberries are not quite that. She's part of our crew. She's coming to help this morning.
Lola Reed?
Lola Reed weeding. With her new bike.
Yeah, let's see that new bike.
Yeah. You'd be interested in this. I might even ask for your help. One thing I've been thinking about, because one year I walked all the streets of Northampton just to get exercise, and I marked it off on my map. And I kept seeing these beautiful gardens, front yard, backyard gardens. So I want to have a bike tour around Northampton. I want to have door hangers that say, your garden could be a pollinator garden. And I want to bike all the streets of Northampton and find people that look like they have a good assortment of plants. Uh-huh. Give them a door hanger and see if we can't encourage them to make it. Well, become aware of pollinators. Yeah. You know, up until 2 years ago, I only gardened for beauty. I wasn't thinking of bumblebees or anything. So it's the awareness that's really important.
Yeah. I know a lot of people who get freaked out about bees.
Uh-huh.
How do you respond to that concern?
Yeah. Well, I'm afraid of wasps. Wasps are the type that really like to buzz around you and badger you. But if you observe bees, of which we have 350 species in Massachusetts, if you're just observing them, you can get really close to almost every single one, and they're interested in food, nectar, you know, they're doing their thing. So if you have a bee allergy, you would be concerned. But other than that, there really isn't a lot of concern unless you see a swarm, get out of there. Uh-huh. But almost every bee is just doing their thing, and we should thank them because that's our food.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you're not allergic, if you do get stung, well, it's just some temporary pain that comes and goes.
Yeah, it comes and goes. But wasps,
I kind of like wasps.
Oh, yellow jackets. Sometimes there's clusters of yellow jackets, and they're doing their thing, but don't get in their way.
Yeah. Okay, can you just say the name of the, if people want to get involved, if they want to help out in Pulaski Park, or do you have, a time that you do it? How does it organize?
Well, this week, this might not work for your radio show, but if they are interested in helping us weed or just getting involved in the few projects we're doing in town, my email is wmassb WMassBees at gmail.com.
WMassBees?
WMassBees at gmail.com. Okay. And would, or just, yeah, we're not at Pulaski Park all the time. We come here a couple times a week. And but we'd love to have people that are interested. And our website is WMassBees.org. Uh-huh. So there's lots of information there.
Is it all like in Northampton? What are some of the other areas around Northampton where you are weeding, where you need volunteers?
Well, we don't need volunteers yet. We are talking to both libraries and the senior center. Those are future projects, and we don't have a plan yet or anything. One of our volunteers, Jessica, put an edibles garden up at in the back of Lilly Library. Forbes Library. And we might be putting some pollinator plants there and thinking about maintenance. Maintenance is a big thing. You can't just put something in and go, take care of yourself.
Yeah.
Hi, Lola.
Hi, Brutie.
Lola, can I ask you for my radio show? What are you doing? Why you came out here today?
Oh. Well, I'm going to support Peggy and her endeavors, her wonderful endeavors. And I am a gardener, so this is something I do at home all the time, so I figured I could help out and be somewhat effective. But this looks impossible, actually.
Well, I believe in you all. Looks very possible to me.
Okay.
And I wish I could help out, but I have a big trash day ahead of me. Cool. Thanks for being here. How about you, Jessica?
Oh, I'm here because basically I love to weed. That's what it comes. I mean, I would pick this activity over any other, which I know most people would find crazy. But
no, I actually like weeding a lot too.
I just, it's like my meditation, and you feel so accomplished when you know everything is cleared out and it looks so. Yeah, just neat and tidy. Cool. So, and I planted a pollinator garden at home last spring, and it's, you know, everything's up and it's doing great. And so now I need to move beyond my house and work with the pollinator networks. And we're hoping to add lots of pollinator-friendly plants to Pulaski Park, which they've already put a few, mm-hmm. which is good to see. But, yeah, we need to save those from being strangulated by the weeds. And what's so nice is I've been here 3 times weeding, and there are always people stopping and saying thank you just out of the blue and chatting and wondering what we're doing. And so it's great to have the opportunity to educate people, let them know what we're doing. And they're so excited, and they keep saying, oh, my God, it looks so much better. And, yeah, what's going on with all these, you know, they're like, why are all these weeds in the public park? So we were happy to step up and weed for the city.
Do you have any top recommendations for pollinator plants if people are thinking about how to make their yard more pollinator friendly?
Yeah, I would say, well, for my own garden, I have noticed that anise hyssop is super popular amongst the pollinators. And then an annual is Mexican sunflower. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, I shouldn't even say it's annual. I mean, I planted it for the first time last year in my garden, and they self-planted themselves. I would see 2 bees on 1 flower. I mean, it was just so... Mm-hmm. What else was popular? Let's see. Anything chive-like, you know, with the little...
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the alliums with the little heads with lots of flowers.
Milkweed family.
Milkweed, yep, milkweed. The milkweed wasn't put in my design by Tom Sullivan of Pollinators Welcome, but I have milkweed sort of randomly coming up in the yard, which is great. We have a lot. Of course, I'm not going to remember the names right now.
Yeah.
But there's a sedum low ground cover that's in the front that bees were just crazy about this spring. And comfrey, which, you know, most people would be like comfrey, but hummingbirds were coming to my comfrey flowers. And I have a Rose of Sharon, which I think attracts the hummingbirds. Yeah, and then I planted a spice bush last spring, and this year I automatically went over to pick a leaf off that had curled up. I thought, oh, it's dying of some disease. And then I happened to peek in, and I saw a spice bush swallowtail caterpillar. They're the ones with the little, they look like eyes on the front of the head, and they're so cool looking. They're bright green. And I thought, oh my God, I just ripped its house off. Oh, and I saw five more on the bush, and so, like, oh, great. You know, they're already taking advantage of this this larval food. So people should think about, you know, the caterpillar stage, the larval stage, and the adult.
Yeah, I wasn't thinking about that. Stage, I was just thinking about, well, if you see a flower with a butterfly on it, it must mean it's a pollinator thing. But there's other signs and clues and purposes.
Yep.
Cool. Are you happy to be here?
I am happy to be here. It's a beautiful day, and I love Northampton, and I love the community comes together to do things like this.
You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. That was an interview with Peggy McLeod and also Lola Reed, Jessica Tanner. Jessica Tanner does Farm to Fork here on Valley Free Radio. And Diana Riddle was that last voice there. I'm Ruthie Woodring. I have live in the studio with me today Rodrigo Porua, a cyclist from Mexico City who's visiting. So stay tuned to Out There. We're going to come back with an interview with him. But I'm going to first play a song by David Williams.
Pollinators collect the pollen grain. Flower to flower must be the same. Like a puzzle, the grain must fit so the fruit can grow. And that is it. Bee is a pollinator, so is a fly. Flower sends a message up, drop on by. Hummingbird uses its long, long tongue, and when it flies, it always hums a ghost. Fruits have seeds stuck inside. The vegetables don't, but that's all right. Butterflies, beetles, or pollinators too. Without them, we wouldn't have any food. Cause the bee is a pollinator, so is the fly. Flower sends a message to drop on by. Hummingbird uses its long, long tongue. And then when it flies, it always hums and goes.
All right.
Yay.
This is Out There. Thanks for tuning in today to Valley Free Radio, WXOJ 103.3 FM here in Northampton. Northampton and Florence, 140 Pine Street in the basement of the old Florence Grammar School. So my live guest today, Rodrigo Porua.
Hola, amigos.
Thanks for coming in, Rodrigo. This interview will be a Spanglish interview. I guess we'll go back and forth. Rodrigo and I were out hauling trash earlier today. He accompanied me on my pedal people route. ¿Cómo te fue?
Muy divertido.
Yeah?
Sí.
What was your favorite part?
I think carrying the trailer.
Oh, yeah. I only let him haul the trailer for the very last part.
So heavy. Thank you.
But I had to ride hard to keep up with you, even though like I had your bike with nothing on it and you had my trailer load full of trash. You were just trying to show off, I bet.
Yeah, sí, sí.
And then we also stopped to pick blackberries. So I want to give a blackberry alert out there on Route 10 on the way to Valley Recycling. If you're going down South Street on the way to East Hampton, just past the, after you cross the Mill River Bridge, there's a stoplight there where Earl Street comes in. And then on the embankment up on the right, there's blackberries. Do they have blackberries in Mexico?
Sí, sí tenemos.
Mexico City?
Les decimos zarzamoras.
Zarzamores.
Sí.
Zarzamoras. Okay. So you biked here from Mexico City?
Yes, I did it.
When did you leave?
Dejé mi casa el abril de hace un año.
Okay, so he left his house in April of a year ago, a little over a year ago. And did you bike like directly to Massachusetts, or how did you come? What was your route?
Pues después de rodar por el norte de México, llegué a California, y de ahí decidí ir para Nevada.
Uh-huh.
Cruzando Nevada, llegué a Idaho y un poquito de Utah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so we went through the north of Mexico to California. You rode through Los Angeles? right?
Ah, yes.
You visited L.A.?
I visited L.A., wonderful city.
And then you rode, like, Nevada, Utah, made a quick trip down to Texas, and then...
Texas, y después de Texas, Louisiana, la parte norte de Louisiana.
In northern Louisiana, and then on to Atlanta, Georgia.
Ah, de ahí llegué al río Mississippi y seguí hacia el norte para Tennessee, muy bonito.
Yeah.
Conocí la ciudad de Nashville y mucha gente muy bonita y amable.
¿Y viajaste solo todo el tiempo?
Todo el tiempo he viajado solo. Algunas veces me he encontrado viajeros que van cruzando Estados Unidos a pie o en bicicleta.
Ah, so we traveled alone, but sometimes we'd come across other people traveling on bike or on foot. And where did you stay at night?
Sometimes I put my camp tent, y otras veces la gente hospitalaria de este país me da hospedaje en sus casas. Utilizo el programa de warm showers.
Sometimes he would camp at night or stay with people through the hospitality network, an online hospitality network called Warm Showers, which is specifically for traveling cyclists. If you're a cyclist or you ever want to be a cyclist or you want to host traveling cyclists, I encourage you to sign up for that network, warmshowers.org. It's really great. We're on it. I've used it. I've hosted a bunch. It's really cool.
Maravilloso. Yo hospedé gente en México que venía de todo el mundo en Tulum, Quintana Roo.
Oh, wow. So when he was living in Mexico, he hosted people from all over the world, traveling cyclists from all over the world,
yes,
through Warm Showers.
Sí, sí.
In Tulum and Quintana Roo.
Y ellos me inspiraron a hacer este viaje.
In what?
They inspired me to make this travel.
Okay, so you were a cyclist in Mexico City. Like, when did you start riding a bicycle?
I think when I must to sail my car.
Uh-huh.
I was fired from my work.
Uh-huh.
And solo me quedó la bicicleta.
Wow. Okay, so what was your job at that time? And yeah.
En ese tiempo yo trabajaba para la compañía de Luz y Fuerza del Centro, que uh-huh. es la compañía que provee energía eléctrica a la Ciudad de México.
So he worked for the Power and Light Company for the City of Mexico. As an electrician?
Sí, uh-huh. soy mecánico en un taller de electricidad.
Okay, he was a mechanic in an electrical workshop?
Yes.
Electrical shop.
In 2010, the government privatizó la empresa.
Uh-huh. So in 2010, the government privatized the power company.
Y 22,000 trabajadores fuimos despedidos.
And 22,000 workers were laid off.
Entonces, mi siguiente trabajo fue de bici mensajero en la Ciudad de México.
And his next job was a bike messenger in Mexico City.
Muy divertido.
It was great. It was fun. So, I want to go back a minute. So, you were part of the largest cooperative in Mexico as part of the Mexican Electrical Union.
Sí,
right?
Nuestro sindicato regresó como convertido en cooperativa y ahora somos 16,000 socios que proveemos servicios para la nueva empresa privada.
Huh. So the company or the you want to say that in English while I think about how to say it in English?
Yes, in English.
Okay, so the government privatized the power company, but then after that, the new workers, they became a cooperative.
See, we became a cooperative.
And wait, but I thought you were fired. No te despidieron.
Yes, when we resisted for 7 years strike.
They had a 7 year strike.
See, and we back to work like a cooperative.
Huh.
In that time, another company of the government take cares from our jobs. Mexico have two companies to provide energy. It's a state owner.
Uh-huh.
And now just one.
So before they had two...
Sí.
Okay, right. You said that in English. So the 7 years that you were on strike, was that like from 2010 to 2017 or before 2010? When was that strike?
In 2010 begins the resistance of the process of privatization.
The process of privatization. Yeah.
We resist for 7 years, and at final, the Supreme Court decide privatize the and la liquidación total de la empresa. No existe más.
Ajá.
Y, nuestro sindicato no tiene razón de ser y nos convertimos en cooperativa.
Huh. So the union didn't have any reason to exist because it was the power company was privatized. But then a lot of the old workers formed a cooperative. And so are they working like as electricians in the private sector?
Sí, electricidad en el sector privado.
Okay.
Para el gobierno del Distrito Federal o la Ciudad de México.
Okay. How many people are part of this cooperative?
We are 16,000.
16,000. Yeah. Wow. Okay. So in 2010, when you lost your job with the power company, how did you become a bike messenger?
With friends. We have this critical mass every week. It's a lot of friends join together in a ride, night bike, just for fun. We are hundreds. Mm-hmm. And I meet some friends who want to ride and generate some money with that.
Who want to ride a bike for a living, like start a business riding a bike for a living to make money riding a bicycle?
Sí.
Cuéntame la historia. Me dijiste antes que estabas llorando o algo y los ciclistas de Critical Mass pasaron.
En la misma semana que perdí mi trabajo.
Oh, so the same week that he lost his job.
Rompí relaciones con mi novia.
He also broke up with his girlfriend.
And me tuve que cambiar de casa.
And he had to leave his home, his apartment or house too.
Todo eso en la misma semana.
And all in the same week.
Y yo lloraba en la calle con la bicicleta.
And he was crying in the street with his bicycle.
Y el Critical Mass pasó junto a mí.
And then the Critical Mass, all those riders passed by.
Y me invitaron a ir con ellos.
And they invited him to come with them.
Y desde entonces mi vida gira en dos ruedas.
And since then his bike is, or his life has rotated on two wheels.
Sí, así fue.
That's how it was. Okay, so how did you get the job as a bike messenger? You started the business, right? You were saying?
Sí, yeah. Con otros amigos, we found this co-op.
Yeah, so his friend, they started this cooperative, Bici en Vía.
Bici en Vía, who provides service delivery in this huge city.
Bike messenger and delivery service in Mexico City.
It's very fun. Now it's a huge cooperative and works very well.
Yeah, how many people are part of the cooperative now?
Ahora han de ser como 20, me imagino.
So there's about 20 cooperative members for the Bici en Vía now.
Sí.
That's cool. I actually visited Mexico City and visited and stayed with one of the cooperative members like 3 years ago. I stayed with Nade and biked around with her in Mexico City a few years ago. Mexico City is like, it's a serious city. There's a lot of cars. There's a lot of streets that go every which way. And
5 million cars.
5 million cars. When my friend Miguel from Bogota was visiting, he came on the show and talked about different things that Bogota, the city of Bogota, is doing to promote use of the bicycle. And Bogota is really famous for the ciclovías, where every Sunday a bunch of the main streets are closed to cyclists and millions of people. I think he said like 3 million people will fill the streets every Sunday. So Mexico City, do they have something similar to the ciclovías in Bogota?
Sí, tenemos el paseo dominical de los domingos y es el cierre de muchas, muchas calles principales en la ciudad. Más de 290,000 ciclistas pueden recorrerla en un domingo.
Uh-huh. So, yes, also in Mexico City, they have like the Sunday bike rides, Sunday street closings. More than, what'd you say, 290,000 cyclists?
Yes,
people?
290,000 wow. People.
Do you know how many kilometers of roadway are closed?
On kilometers, it's like 90 kilometers.
Wow.
for all the city. And every Sunday since 14 years old.
Since 14 years ago.
Yes.
For the last 14 years. Yeah. That's cool. The city of Northampton, well, if you live in Northampton, you may have noticed the city has started closing Main Street for street festivals. We had like the fourth one back in June. So there's been two December street parties, and then this was the second summer street party, summer Main Street block party.
Wonderful idea.
Yeah, and I think, you know, these ideas can help, or when Northampton does it, the success of these events can hopefully help push Northampton towards, you know, making it a more frequent thing every Sunday. Can you imagine if Main Street was closed every Sunday? It'd be great.
Las calles son para la gente.
Yes, the streets are for people. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. I'm talking with Rodrigo Porua, who's visiting from Mexico City. I'm gonna play a little song. Since we're talking about the bicycle, I can't help but play Shakira. Shakira.
Que algún día demuestras el tayrona, después no querrás ir pa' Barcelona.
So I'm going to have to ask you, Rodrigo, I'm glad you're here, so you can do a little translation for me. What was Shakira and Carlos Vives, what exactly were they saying?
Dice que Carlos es una persona despreocupada que viaja en su bicicleta a todos lados. Y Shakira dice que le escribió una carta donde dice que sueña con él, que lo quiere mucho.
Yeah. It's a love song, but we watched the video as we were playing this in the studio, and the video shows a lot of pictures of these two people being very happy riding a bicycle.
¿Cómo es, la verdad?
That's how it is, right? That's how it is. Yeah, I always feel better when I'm on my bike. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Out There here on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring, and in the studio with me today is Rodrigo Purua.
Gracias. Hola.
Visiting from Mexico City. Wait, what are you doing in Western Mass?
I'm come to Shelburne Farms to take a meditation course.
Up at the Vipassana Center?
Vipassana Center. Vipassana Center. I just leave the center last Sunday. Uh-huh. Now I'm going to the south to know the city of New York, mm-hmm. and to the state of Georgia to visit some friends there.
Also from a meditation center down there?
Yes, there is another meditation center. Yeah.
Great. So when you were growing up, do you remember when you first learned to ride a bicycle or what? How you first got excited about biking?
Yes, I bike in a parking lot near my house, and my dad, I remember my dad teach me, push me and encourage me to keep the assistance wheels.
Oh, you had training wheels?
Yeah, I have a training wheel. Uh-huh. And my cousins have big bikes, and my uncle have a big bike. Uh-huh. And I try to ride this bicycle, but uh-huh. It's too big for me.
Uh-huh. So then when you learned to ride a bicycle, how old were you?
Creo que tenía 5 años.
5 years old. So then was there a place where you could ride it besides the parking lot? Did you just ride around the parking lot?
Sí, en el parque.
In the park, you rode in the park.
En la Ciudad de México, pues es un poco difícil para los niños andar solos en la calle.
In Mexico City, it's a little bit difficult for children to ride alone in the street.
Pero tú puedes encontrar en la Ciudad de México más de 200 parques.
But there's more than 200 parks in Mexico City.
Sí.
So. Yeah, and when did you start riding a bicycle for transportation?
Fue cuando ya no tuve más miedo a cansarme. Algunas personas creen que la bicicleta es un ejercicio exhaustivo. Y después de mis primeras rodadas vi que es bastante relajado.
Huh. When he realized that biking really wasn't that tiring. A lot of people think biking is tiring, but it's not. You can ride. It's actually rejuvenating.
Sí.
Yeah.
Y disfrutar los viajes. Empecé a mover a todos lados en bicicleta por necesidad. El tráfico en la Ciudad de México es imposible y el transporte público está muy concurrido.
Okay. So in Mexico City, the traffic is impossible and the public transit is really crowded. So riding a bicycle is a great way to get around.
Sí. La mayoría de la ciudad está en plano.
Most of the city is flat.
Y es muy accesible. Las calles son anchas y los conductores muy conscientes.
Then the streets are pretty wide and drivers are pretty aware. Y también los semáforos están, the timing on the street lights. And the speed of traffic, I noticed when I was there biking with Nade that it was pretty easy to stay with the flow of traffic because everything was moving at 20 kilometers an hour, 20 or 30 kilometers an hour. I think 20. What is the speed limit in most of Mexico City?
Nadie sabe.
Okay, no one knows.
Pero con el tráfico, la velocidad promedio es como de 10 kilómetros por hora.
But with all the traffic, the average speed is about 10 kilometers an hour.
Mejor en bici.
It's better on a bike. So maybe we can talk about cooperatives a little bit. Well, so with the Bici en Vía, it was just a few of you. How many of you started this business together?
We started 8 people.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Y nos dedicamos a diferentes tareas como la mecánica de bici.
So we had different roles in the business, like bike mechanic.
Y proveemos comida también.
Food provider.
Food provider.
Ah, nice. Cook.
Vamos de compras.
Cook.
Y se puso bien. Al principio, ser mensajero es muy demandante en la Ciudad de México.
Yeah, it's very demanding to be a bike messenger in Mexico City.
Y hay muchas tareas que hacer todavía. Estamos en proceso de crecimiento.
Yeah, so many things to do, and we're still in the process of growth. When I was visiting Nade, on days that she would work, she said she would do like 65 kilometers in a day of deliveries.
Sí.
And some of those, like the middle of Mexico City is flat, but the way it's growing, you know, it's growing up the mountainsides. And so some of those deliveries were like up some serious mountainside hills.
Sí, la Ciudad de México es un valle rodeado de volcanes.
The city of Mexico is a valley surrounded by volcanoes.
Y el valle mide 70 kilómetros por 40.
And the valley measures 70 by 40 kilometers.
Sí.
Wow.
Un gran valle.
Y también la contaminación.
La contaminación es un problema que sigue y pues confiamos en que se pueda tener solución.
Then the air pollution is a big problem, too.
Ahora, con un nuevo gobierno, esperemos que las gentes encargadas del medio ambiente hagan su labor.
Yeah, so now with the new government, the new president, we hope that the people in charge of environmental protection will do their job. How do you feel about the new president?
Muy esperanzado.
Yeah, sí. AMLO López.
El señor López Obrador.
López Obrador.
Excelente persona y es nuestro Mujica, como el presidente de Paraguay.
Okay.
Uruguay.
Yeah, I'm very hopeful. He's our Mujica, like the president of Paraguay. What else? You know what? Well, why don't I play another song? This is
sí.
Virginia Rodrigo. When I did the Google search about canciones en español sobre la bicicleta, it said Rodrigo as her last name. Oh yeah, I gotta play that one because Rodrigo is my guest.
Gracias.
Vuelta a casa, ciudad tranquila, viento en la cara, paso rodando, la noche me acompaña, luces que giran y bailan, y voy sintiendo cómo voy rodando, y mientras giro, canto, solo sintiendo cómo voy rodando, para estar viva, no hace falta tanto. Ruedas, saber qué me espera. Sobre dos ruedas, de vuelta a casa, ninguna prisa, Madrid en la mirada, suave y despacio la noche pasa. Voy navegando calles de agua, baila mi paso, la luz por las ventanas, para estar viva no hace falta nada, dos ruedas, una llamada. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Out There here on Valley Free Radio. That was Virginia Rodrigo with Dos Ruedas. Rodrigo,
can, sí.
Can you give me any translation of that song, what that song was about?
De mucho que se disfruta andar en ruedas, de las cosas que ella ve como los árboles. Y
it's about enjoying sonidos. Life on a bike and all the things you see, like the trees.
And le dan ganas de cantar.
And it makes you want to sing.
Ay, es sobre la alegría que tiene entre las piernas.
All about the happiness between the legs. this is Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. Rodrigo Porrua is in the studio with me live today, visiting from Mexico City on his bicycle.
Sí.
We were going to talk a little bit about the rodadas nocturnas, the night bike rides in Mexico City. What's that?
A lot of friends, los amigos nos juntamos. Hay una asociación llamada Bicitecas.
There's a bike organization called Bicitecas in Mexico City.
Y desde hace 20 años se juntan cada miércoles a rodar por la noche.
So every Wednesday for the last 20 years they've gotten together for night rides.
A veces son cientos de personas.
Sometimes there's hundreds of people.
De las 9 de la noche hasta la 1 de la mañana.
From 9 at night till 1 in the morning.
Y es muy divertido. Vamos a restaurantes, visitamos parques.
It's really fun. We go to restaurants or visit parks.
Conciertos.
Concerts.
Vamos a ver arte y conocer lugares de la ciudad.
Or to see art or just explore different parts of the city.
Y de a partir de esa rodada, muchos grupos ciclistas hicieron su propio día de rodar en And
this group like inspired other groups to start their own evening night bike rides on different days of the week.
Yes, y 250 grupos hay en la ciudad.
Yeah, 250 groups doing bike rides in Mexico City.
Y cualquiera puede unirse a ellos y conocer lugares que nunca podría ir en auto.
And anyone can join up with these groups and ride a bike and get to know places that you would never get to know if you were in a car.
Sí, y estos grupos se reunieron en un solo grupo. Cada mes hacemos la rodada, el paseo de todos.
And once a month, all these groups get together for a ride called El Paseo de Todos.
Hasta 8,000 personas han llegado a rodar en esta.
8,000
people so riding.
Even 8,000, up to 8,000 people in one of these monthly bike rides. Increíble.
Es muy, muy divertido.
That's like a traffic jam, a serious traffic jam of cyclists.
Yes.
How can a cyclist get through?
Like half hour and through. Everyone.
It's a half hour for this group to pass the point.
The beginning at the end, yeah.
Wow, that's cool. So I wonder, Rodrigo, if you could share something about your trip, your bike trip from Mexico City to here. And if there's any, stories or anecdotes that come to mind.
Pues, lo que más me toca es la hospitalidad que encontré. Que he encontrado.
The thing that struck me most was the hospitality that I found.
Recuerdo estar en una ciudad sin tener dónde quedarme.
Once I was in a town with no place to stay.
Y un hombre desde un auto me llamó.
And a man hollered at me from his car.
Y me preguntó de dónde era, si tenía lugar para estar en
he
la
noche.
He asked
me, where are you from? You got somewhere to stay tonight?
Y me dijo, me ofreció su casa para quedarme a dormir.
And he offered me his house to sleep in.
Y me escribió en un papel la dirección.
He wrote down on a piece of paper his address.
Y cuando llegué a la casa, me recibieron muy bien.
And when I got to the house, they welcomed me very nicely.
Pero no vi por ningún lado a este hombre en ningún momento.
But
este hombre no estaba en la casa.
Oh, but the guy was never there. The man was never there. He never showed up.
No, al otro día, la mujer que me recibió me dijo, ¿y por qué viniste aquí?
And the next day, the woman who had welcomed me said, like, why did you come here?
Un hombre me dio la dirección.
And I said, well, this man gave me your address.
No conozco a nadie.
I don't know anyone here. Well, how many people who lived at the house?
Solo esta mujer y su mamá.
Just that woman and her mother. And so, wait, so you showed up, and they just said...
Just un hombre me invitó a...
I said, oh, some man invited me to come here.
Y ellos dijeron, pasa, sí, no hay
And
problem.
They said, okay, come on in. Was this in Mexico or the United States?
In the United States.
The United States.
Sí.
What state?
In California.
In California.
Y otro amigo que conocí en México... Cuando llegué a su casa había una nota que decía la llave está bajo el tapete.
Uh-huh. Another friend that I know in Mexico, when I arrived at the house, there was just a note saying the key's under the doormat.
Y, all American hospitality. Muy bien.
All American hospitality. Yeah.
Yes, yes. So glad and so glad.
Yeah. All right, I want to make a couple of announcements here. You're listening to Out There. Some events coming up this weekend. This Friday is part of the Friday Music Series in downtown Northampton, the Summer Music Series. Where was my flyer on that? I don't know where it is. But anyway, I think it's like a four or six week Summer Music Series happens every year. The Courthouse Lawn, Friday evenings, I think from 6 to 8. There's music on the Courthouse Lawn in downtown Northampton at the intersection of King and Main. Also coming up this weekend, here's a workshop. Workshop follow-up meeting. This is from UROC, the Undoing Racism Organizing Collective based in Amherst. On Sunday, July 29th, from 6 to 8 in the evening. There's going to be a UROC workshop follow-up meeting. What questions do you have about institutional, cultural, and personal racism? How have you seen racism show up at your workplace or in your social circles? We'll begin our meeting focusing on how the box is impacting our work and home lives. Have you noticed boxes in your organization? Are you struggling to get out of the box? How are you being pushed back into the box? Are you wondering if you're contributing to the box or how to deconstruct the box? This is a follow-up meeting to UROC's June workshop and is open to all. Again, that's this Sunday, July 29th, 6 to 8 p.m. at the Collaborative, 93 Hawley Street in Northampton. Please let them know if you plan on attending. There'll be light refreshments. Please bring food to share if you can. This email was from, is there a website or something for more information? This email was from Ruth Killow Hill, from a list that I'm on. Probably if you look for the Undoing Racism Organizing Collective, you can find some contact information and anything about that and how to RSVP to that. What else? Oh, of course, this weekend, this Saturday, and every Saturday.
I found a boy today. It looks so good. Why did you throw it away?
You want to learn to fix your bike? How to keep it tuned up so it's there for you when you need it? Or maybe you know already, but you just need to borrow a bike-specific tool that you don't have. Well, come to the Bike Lab.
Almost every Saturday since 2004, from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., here in Northampton at 12 Northern Avenue.
Come with your bike or your questions.
And your willing attitude.
Spare parts scavenger hunt every weekend.
Venga para el Bike Lab de Northampton y se divertirá mucho, le enseñará muchas lecciones como arreglar bicicletas.
All repairs guaranteed to the end of the driveway.
Details are online at pedalpeople.coop. That's the Saturday Bike Lab at 12 Northern Avenue,
11 a.m. to 2 p.m.
They say freedom isn't free, but at the Bike Lab it is.
Ya súbase a la bici, compa. Trépese a la de montaña, la bici urbana, la bici cross. Lléguele a la bicicleta. Ya de menos a la eléctrica o a la estática, ya no hay tos. Llegaré pedaleando en el viaje de allá para acá.
Oh, yeah, so before we sign off here on Out There, I just want to thank Rodrigo for coming into the studio today. Thank you.
Gracias, amigos.
And also stay tuned for Democracy Now! Coming up at 5 o'clock. You can listen to archived editions of Out There at weatherbeard.com/out there. And this is Valley Free Radio, WXOJ 103.3 FM in Northampton. And I've been your host, Ruthie Woodring.
The Green Mountain Bluegrass and Roots Festival, August 16 to 19 at Hunter Park, Manchester, Vermont. This is not your average bluegrass festival. It's a gathering of world-class musicians rooted deeply in traditional American music, collaborating with each other as they see fit, all in the majesty of Vermont's Green Mountains, featuring Mandolin Orange,
no ties and
Peter Rowan, Donna the Buffalo, Molly Tuttle, and many, many more. The Green Mountain Bluegrass and Roots Festival, 4 days with a main stage, dance tent, kids' activities, local food trucks, and awesome Vermont craft beer and wine. Don't miss the titans and rising stars of today's bluegrass, roots, and Americana music scene, playing and collaborating in beautiful Manchester, Vermont. GreenMountainBluegrass.com.